following message is from a guest speaker of Emmanuel Community Church. More information about the ministry of Emmanuel Community Church can be found at emmanuelcommunity.org.
Well, good morning, everyone, and it is always good to be here. It's my first time here this morning in your wonderful space, so thank you. Hey, before we actually start, I actually do have a complaint, and I do have a bone to pick with this church a little bit. A couple weeks ago, I was on the phone with Philam Friday night, and I said, Phil, what are you doing tonight? He says, I'm going to go to church and drop my son off. I said, oh, and then what are you going to do afterwards? Oh, I'm one of the youth counselors. All right. Who in the right mind thought he would be good working with youth? Come on. And so I'm saying, Feet, they let you work with youth? He says, yes, I'm one of the youth counselors. All right, we're going to have to relook at that one a little bit here. But anyways, it is great to be here. And Dr. Steve was nice enough to invite me, and I had a chance to, I was just in Malaysia, Indonesia last week. And here I am sitting there, I was up at 3 o'clock in the morning, got a chance to listen to Dr. Steve's sermon, and I love what he said, and let's bring in the next slide here. Here was his big idea that he talked about, is he says that, look, as our shepherd, Jesus offers us a place of total security and acceptance, leading us to paths of abundant life. As sheep, our response is to put our total trust in the leadership. Here's a couple of quotes that he talked about, is we are at the same time terrified of being fully exposed for who we truly are and yet deeply desperate to be known. Jesus tells us he knows us completely, and yet that knowledge doesn't drive him away. In fact, it draws him closer to us. Jesus knows us with the same intimacy, depth, and perfect understanding that exists within the Trinity itself. Next slide. Following Jesus as our shepherd means more than intellectual belief. It means submission to the leadership in every area of our lives. Following Jesus as our shepherd cannot be compartmentalized, and we obey him not out of fear or duty, but out of love and trust. I'm going to continue on that theme this morning, and we're going to look at the story of Joshua. As Joshua takes the reins of leadership, and he ushers this group of Israelites, a lot of those guys, through the promised land, through the Jordan River, and into the promised land. But we actually begin our story in Joshua chapter 1, in verse 1, a verse that many of you guys are familiar with. It reads this, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Joshua, Moses, my servant, yes, he was my servant. Yes, he was my guy. Yes, he was the one who brought you guys out of slavery and through the Red Sea and into where we are in the desert right now. But Joshua, my servant, is dead. You're in charge now. So Joshua, whatever insecurities that you have, whatever hesitations that you have, get it out of your system now. Because you're the guy in charge. You're the guy leading the way. You're the guy leading these guys into the promised land. And he says to them, be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. As we look at chapter 3 today in verse 1, we're going to look at four things that emerges in the five verses that we look at today. The first thing that we're going to see in chapter 1, next slide on that one, is that the Israelites had to learn to follow the Ark of the Covenant. Secondly, they had to understand what it meant to consecrate themselves. Why is that important? They also had to believe that God could do wonders in their life. And the Israelites had to journey with community. They followed the Ark of the Covenant. They consecrated themselves. They believed that God would do wonders. And they journeyed with community. Because here's the big idea, next slide as well too. Here's the big idea that we're going to talk about today. That God goes ahead of us. God works within us. And that God walks beside us. God goes ahead of us. God works within us. God walks beside us. Let's go to chapter 3, verse 1. Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and he set up from Shittim, and they came to the Jordan, he and all the people of Israel. They rose early in the morning for the very final time. They rose early in the morning about to pack for the final time. The day that they have been talking about, the day they have been dreaming about, the day they told stories about is finally here. The day we leave the desert and now go into the promised land. The story that Moses kept talking about, we're going into the promised land. For many of those who were older at that particular point in time, they're sitting there. They probably were kids when they first were slaves in Egypt. They remember their parents in Egypt. They remember this Moses guy who brought them out of that, and the Pharaoh and all the soldiers were chasing them. He parts the Red Sea, and as a kid, they're watching as they cross the Red Sea, amazed at how they could cross the sea and not be hurt as everyone's chasing them. They are old now. They're not strong. They're no longer the leaders of this group. But yet they tell of the stories that their parents used to tell them of what could be. Then you have the younger people now. They're the leaders of this group. And now they probably weren't even born when they first got to the desert. After all, they spent 40 years in the desert. They heard stories from their parents. They imagined what it could be. They never even faced what was going on in Egypt. What's going on here? But there's probably a third group as well, too, the naysayers. They're the guys who were afraid. After all, they sent spies over to the promised land, and word got back that, hey, look, those guys over there, they're prepared for you. They know you're coming, and they're not just going to give up their land right away. And so some of them are saying, wait, why are we going to the promised land? We've been in the desert for 40 years. We've gotten food. God showed up. Can't we just stay here? It's not perfect, but it's home. So why are we going to the promised land? They're going to try to kill us. And so they're afraid. So you have all of these people, but they're all going to pack up. And they're all going to go to the Jordan River. And here they are. He and all the people of Israel and lodged there before they passed. At the end of 3 days, that's very key, and we're going to go back and talk about that, the officers went through the camp and commanded the people, as soon as you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God being carried by the Levitical priests, then you shall set out from your place and follow it. Yet there shall be a distance between you and it, about 2,000 cubits in length. Do not come near it. And here, if you get a chance on your phone, underline it. If you have your pen in your Bible, underline it. Because this verse has been a verse that I've read time and time and time and time again for decades. And I've memorized this verse because it has guided me all throughout my life. Here's what it says. Do not come near it, in order that you may know the way you shall go, for you have not passed this way before. Follow the Ark of the Covenant, because you may know the way you need to go, for you have not passed this way before. As soon as I read that, every single person here in this room can relate, can nod their heads, because you know what I mean. Every single person in this room, including me and you, have gone to places where we have never gone before. We have done things that we have never done before. And there are times we have no idea of what we're going to do. For those who are older here in this room, you're retired, the kids are now all grown up. Everything that you have worked for of taking care of the family is now done. And now you're trying to sit there and say, Lord, I still have energy. I still have a vibrancy to love you and serve you. What is it that you want me to do, Lord? What is it that you're calling me to do? If you're in high school and you're in college, every single year is a new year. Every single year you've done something you've never done before. Whether it's a freshman year in high school, whether it's a senior year in high school, whether you're entering your freshman year in college, Lord, what do I do? I've never been a sophomore before. Lord, which college do I choose to? When you're in college, what major do I do? What if I don't like the major? What happens when you graduate and you take a job? I don't like this job. I spent 4 years in college and I don't like my job. I've never done this before. You've gone to work. You're working at a startup. You're a stay-at-home dad. You're a stay-at-home mom. You're taking care of kids. You're married for the first time. You have kids going off to college. You have kids, all bills. You get laid off. Things like that. We have never done this before. And God says to me, us, I know. It's okay. Follow the Ark of the Covenant. And for all of us, it's not like we have the Ark of the Covenant. Follow the Holy Spirit that I have given you so you know where to go because you have never been this way before. The big key, though, is how do I read and know what the Holy Spirit is telling me? Because too often, a lot of times, it's so easy to say this is God's will when it's really our will, isn't it? Sometimes we want something so badly, we convince God's will, our will, as God's will. It's easy to do that. But in chapter 1, God says to Joshua, he says, look, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and you will have good success. And what God is telling us is continue to study the scriptures. Continue to meditate on the scriptures. Continue to allow the verses to seep and marinate in your heart, to allow it to guide you in every single sense. And when you begin to understand the scriptures and when you begin to understand God's words and his thoughts becomes your thoughts. His ways becomes your ways. But it's going to take time. It's going to take a while. It's going to take some wrestling. It's going to take some meditation. It's going to take some reflecting of looking and rereading over and over and over again. Allow the Holy Spirit to guide you. Allow His thoughts be your thoughts. Because when we allow the Holy Spirit to guide us, He will take us to ways because we don't know where to go. So that's the first one. And the second thing he says, Jesus said to the people in verse 5, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Consecrate yourselves. And what does that mean? It literally means to make holy, to set apart for God's purposes. Two things I would say about consecration. Number one, we read this, is they brought everyone from Shittim over to the Jordan River. And there, what did they do? Did they cross the Jordan River right away? No. They literally sat there and camped there for 3 days. And you're probably wondering why, Joshua, what in the world were you doing? Just
get over it. Cross the Jordan River, show them what you could do, and just go over there. No, he decides to camp there for 3 days. And I wonder if he camped there for 3 days. And by the way, a lot of times, if you go to chapter 3, verse 15, it tells us the waters of the Jordan are flooding. It's overflowing because it's rainy season. The currents are pretty strong, everything like that. So Joshua, out of all this time, why in the world did you decide to go during flooding season? Why couldn't you have waited when the weather calmed down and everything like that and then go? You brought everyone at this time, yes. And you're going to sit there for 3 days, yes. And you're going to watch the rapids and the waters, the current so strong, yes. Because when you sit there for 3 days, you're going to keep staring at it. And you're going to see the promised land over the Jordan River. And you're going to ask yourself this question, how in the world are we going to get past through this? What are we going to do to get not just 10 people, not just 20, over a million people over to this Jordan River? Because God wants you to look at the obstacle, look at the circumstance, and realize you can't do it. You can't do it. That your own strength will not allow you to deal with this situation. And God says, you're going to need my help to do it. And he does it not because he has an ego, not because he says, oh, I just want you guys to worship me. No. He needs you to learn humility, to learn brokenness, to realize that it's not all about you. It's not what you can do, but what I can do through you. He instills us brokenness, a dependence on him, a humbleness, similar to when we come across on the cross, that we need someone else because we can't live that perfect life. So as they're staring at it, they realize they can't do it themselves. Another thing with consecration is during that period of time, it allows them to reflect upon their own hearts, to really come before the Lord and deal with some of the baggage that they may have in their life, some of the insecurities, the anger, the guilt, the jealousy, the greed. God wants them to do business in their own hearts before they go to the next phase. God wants to do business in your own heart before he begins to work in your life and to do more things. Because frankly, there are all of us sitting here today where we have heart baggage, we have heart issues that God wants you to come face to face with. And he says to you, I need you to work in your heart. I need you to make sure that your heart is good. What is the heart matters that he has in your life? Because you could keep running away with it, but what is inside of your life, what is inside of your heart will eventually come out. And it will have a negative effect on your relationships, your family, your loved ones, all of those things. Let me give you an example. When I was in Indonesia this past week, we have a team of 8 people. Immediately, one of the top priorities on my list was to meet with one of our team members. She is married to this wonderful man who I've known. I've been going to Indonesia for 10 years. We now have a wonderful team of 8 people over there, and it's growing with these young marketplace leaders. But there is one person, the husband of our teammate, who I wanted to talk with. He sat down with me, and we had a long conversation. And he says, Tommy, I'm taking a break from the faith. I am bitter at God. I am angry at God. I do not understand why God gives us freedom to make decisions and watch as we make those bad decisions and we suffer and he sits there and watches us. Doesn't understand it. And he says, I just can't fathom how a God who says he loves us and has grace gives us freedom of choice and watches as we make bad decisions and does nothing except sits there on the sideline. This was the very guy who took a $10,000 investment, sold his company for $32 million. Then from that point on, invested in a project in San Francisco, lost 80% of that money, and he is angry, and he is bitter, and he doesn't understand it. What has happened now? He says, I'm going to focus and concentrate on money. And he's also said to his wife, our marriage was based upon my faith. I don't have that faith anymore. I'm asking for a divorce. She said no, and he says, okay, fine. If you don't want a divorce, I'm going to put money in my work first. I'm going to put our kids last. I'm going to put my own free time third, and you're fourth. And you're going to have to live with that. He has issues. He has heart issues that he has to deal with. God wants you to consecrate your life, to do business with him, to make yourself holy in order to do business with him. Consecrate yourselves. For tomorrow the Lord will do what? Wonders among you. Do you believe here in this room God will do wonders in your life? Do you believe and truly believe that God will do things you can't even believe in your life and through you? I would probably say of all the lessons that we learned today, this is actually the one that I struggle with the most. Let me give you an example of that. In November, Resource Global has suddenly grown from one city to now 13 global cities around the world. We're sitting in a meeting, and for 3 days, we're at crew headquarters. Our strategic planning committee of our board was there. Our executive team was there. I'm there. Everyone's sitting there looking at, we're at 13 cities by 2030. Tommy, we want to be at 25 cities. We want to be at 3 million by 2050. That's the time when I'm hoping to retire. We're going to be at 50 cities. All of them, they're going to sit there and say, we're going to do this. We're going to be in Brazil. We're going to be here. We're going to be here. All of this stuff. And you're talking about, look at how God has blessed us. But you know what? During that period of time, I'm sitting there amongst all those people. And you know what I'm thinking? I'm not thinking, wow, look at how God has blessed us. Look at the wonder he's done among us. Here's what I was really thinking as everyone was talking about. Lord, when will this group realize I don't know what I'm doing? When will this group realize that sitting here talking about all the ways that God has been working, will they realize I don't know where to go? I don't know how to lead this thing. Lord, when would they realize I'm not very good at this? I kind of landed in here and I met some good people to help me. When would they stop losing trust in me when they realize, oh my gosh, who did we hire? I never focus on what God could do wonders. I deal with that insecurity where I'm always trying to figure out, I don't think I could do it. It's even when I sit there with somebody and I'm asking them for $100,000 or $200,000. I literally, before I ask them for $200,000, right after that, I'm sitting there. I apologize if you can't have that money. I apologize. And I'm sitting there, why am I apologizing all the time? And someone said, one time said to me, is you have imposter syndrome. I really struggle with that. I really don't think God could do wonders among me. I really don't believe it. What would be different if I thought differently? What would be different if you thought differently? What would change about your life if you look at your life as a doctor, as a school administrator, as an entrepreneur, as a pastor, all of those things? If you sit there and say, Lord, I believe you could do wonders in my life, not because of my skill, but because of your calling for me to make a difference for the gospel. I believe it. And that was your mental idea going in. How would it change your life? I've had to wrestle with that as well, too. So God works and goes ahead of us. Follow the Ark of the Covenant. Follow the Holy Spirit. God works within you. When we look upon the Jordan River, we can't do it. We need your help. Consecrate yourselves. Set yourself apart. Work on your heart issues. The baggage that you have in your heart, God works within you. But God also works and does amazing things through you. And the last thing, and Joshua said to the priests, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on before the people. So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the Lord. And the last and final thought is this. They had to learn the journey with community. You're going to have to learn to journey with community. You're going to have to learn to find like-minded people to guide you in step-by-step along the way. You're going to need to find those people, as we were talking about with small groups, to sign up for small groups, because you're going to need those men and those women to come alongside with you. You're going to need those men and women to rally you, because there are times where you're going to be discouraged. There are going to be times when you need that encouragement. You need people to lift you up. There are going to be times where you're going to dig yourself in a deep hole, and you're going to need the body of Christ to really be that encouragement, to really be able to come alongside with you and to serve you and to care for you. And you're going to have to do that for someone else. And so those small groups, those communities are so important, because you and I need encouragement. But you also know what we need. We need people to hold us accountable. We need people to speak truth into our lives. We need people to say the hard things in our life. I travel almost every single week. I'm gone again on Wednesday. I go overseas in South Africa at the end of the month. When I travel, no one knows who I am. My wife trusts me. I have a team of people who kind of just helps me out with whatever I do. I could say the right things. I could bring my Bible. I could speak and do all these things. No one would know if I was doing things that were harmful to other people, to our staff. No one would know, because I could hide it pretty well. If I stood here right now and said to you, you see all those ministry leaders, you see all those people who have ruined their life with affairs and money, that won't happen to me. You know what you would be thinking? And I would be saying to myself, I'm lying to you. I would be lying, because of course I could do those things. Of course I'm tempted to do those things, because I'm sinful. I am sinful and I'm broken, and I need accountability in my life. I need people to speak truth into my life. I need people to say things I don't want to hear. I need this accountability. One of the wisest things was our former chairman of our board of our organization once said to me, we were in a board meeting, and he stopped the board meeting and he said to everyone, and he says, I'm going to say this to you, Tommy, on behalf of the board. Your greatest strength is your greatest weakness. You're very nice, you're very kind, and you want to help everyone out. Great. But you don't like conflict. You don't like hard decisions. Your grace allows you to keep someone too long when they're not doing a good job because you're afraid to say the hard things. You want people to like you, and you want to sit there and be the nice guy that takes care of everyone. Tommy, that's not what we hire you to do. We hire you to lead this organization. We didn't hire you to be the nice guy that takes care of everyone. So go lead the organization and do what's best for the organization. I needed someone to tell me that. I needed someone to hold me accountable. I needed someone to tell me, Tommy, pull your big boy pants on and learn to do your job. Quit thinking that you want everyone to like you. Learn to say the hard things to people, because this is what we're called you to do. All of us fall. All of us are imperfect. All of us have weak areas. All of us. We need that accountability.
I even need that Fee in my life, right? He drives me absolutely crazy. The last time I was here, I said, Phelan, how did my sermon go? He says, that was absolutely terrible. It was terrible. How in the world did they let you up there? And look, as much as we joke around, he speaks truth in my life. We're going to need to have people to speak truth into our life. We are called to follow the Ark of the Covenant because God goes ahead of us. We are called to consecrate ourselves because God works within us. We consecrate ourselves by looking at the circumstances and realize that we can't do it ourselves and that we need God's help. We consecrate ourselves by evaluating our own heart and the greed and anger and jealousy and the heart baggage that we deal with. We're able to consecrate ourselves when we're sitting there and really believe that God will do amazing things in our life, not out of arrogance, but because God has a purpose and plan in our lives. But we also journey with community, people who speak truth into our life, people who hold us accountable, people who sit there and encourage us every step of the way. Because God goes ahead of us, God works within us, and God walks beside us. The story of Joshua, as I wrap up, is very, very like the Gospels. The story parallels the Gospel in which Jesus brought us out of slavery. He brought us out of slavery, and he bridges the divide between us and the Promised Land through the Jordan River, and the cross allows us to cross into the Promised Land. But yet, before we hit to the end of the Promised Land, there is an adventure. The very same adventure the Israelites are going through, the very same adventure that you and I are going through right now. And through that adventure, he molds and shapes us into the person he wants us to be, so that ultimately, when we get to the Promised Land, grace has made us perfect, but he has refined and molded us into the person he wants us to be. Will it be smooth? No. Will it be easy? No, absolutely not. Will it go according to the way that you want it, according to the plan that you wish it was? It probably won't. It probably won't. But God has a unique plan in your life. And as Dr. Steve tells us, we trust him and continue to follow after him. As much as I started this, I'm going to end with this, with what Dr. Steve says. As our shepherd, Jesus offers us a place of total security and acceptance, leading us to paths of abundant life. As sheep, our response is to put our total trust in his leadership. God goes ahead of us. God works within us. God walks beside us. Let's pray.